We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 56 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Maggie and Perloff, we're hanging out with you on this glorious Wednesday. Big night for the Maggie and Perloff show last night. Took a field trip over to Barclays Center to watch the visiting Los Angeles Lakers take on the hometown Brooklyn Nets. Now, couple things. First, let's start with the Lakers. Oh, first, let's start with you paying me, actually.
Yes.
Because we had a bet that we needed to pay off.
So here's a 20. Do you have change for that?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I'll get the change back to you.
I don't even remember the exact bet, but we're talking about celebrities that might be there, and you guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Michael Strahan would be there.
I said, I don't have a clue who's going to be there celebrity-wise, but I bet Michael Strahan will be there.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, fourth quarter. See him on the sidelines. TNT points the camera to him, so it was going through all of the TVs throughout Barclays. The one and only Michael Strahan.
So he's there every time you've ever been at Barclays, Michael Strahan is there.
Weirdly, yes.
Does he live in Brooklyn?
I have no idea, but he's got an early call time. I mean, Good Morning America, you're like up at 3 o'clock in the morning for that show.
Yeah.
So, you know, kudos to him for staying out late to watch LeBron. Then you saw LeBron had the back-to-back steal and dunks in the game. Like, how is this guy, like, in his late 30s?
Yeah.
He's, like, turning back the clock. He has the back-to-back dunks and points to none other than Michael Strahan.
That's how Strahan got on camera.
Got on camera, right.
So why didn't we make the big screen? Not once.
No.
That was very disappointing.
Maybe they weren't alerted to our presence?
Can we give them the real reason we weren't on the big screen? Because we were sitting there waiting for tacos to be delivered for about 40 minutes.
Yeah, tough in-game experience there. Tough in-game experience waiting 15 minutes for a taco. But the bigger stories are actually what happened between the players. Number one, Anthony Davis coming back for the Lakers and looking good in his return. You know, definitely, you know, writing off the Lakers right now, I think, was far too early. We can all agree the Russell Westbrook trade was a bad idea, but thinking that the Lakers have no shot this year at getting their you-know-what together and making a run at a title, way too early for that. It was way too early. And I know Anthony Davis wasn't amazing, you know, when they first started the season before he missed the 17 games. But they were all still gelling as a new team. You know, early season, you're still working out the kinks here. So I would say, like, that was very encouraging. If I'm a Laker fan, I would not give up yet, because Anthony Davis being back definitely changed things. And LeBron is on one right now.
Yeah, I was excited to see 37-year-old LeBron, because that was the LeBron game last night. He was, you know, his final numbers were impressive, but I don't think you understand how easily he did that and how impressive he was. He was bossing his teammates, telling him, you get there, coaching on the floor. It dawned on me this could possibly be the last time I see LeBron live, because he doesn't come to New York much. I guess I could see him in the finals, or we could see him in L.A. But my point is, it's amazing to see him. You forget he's still in his prime. I don't know how much longer it's going to last. He does look a little different. You see the age.
He had
two big dunks last night, and they were impressive. I mean, 8 years ago, he would have thrown them down like from 9 feet away. So it was incredible to see. This is also, like, you forget, Anthony Davis is gigantic.
Well,
he's legit. Like, he's no fake seven-footer. And I immediately, 2 weeks ago, I was ripping the Lakers saying Russell Westbrook's not going to win a title. I still probably think that, but I feel like it's a completely different team already.
Already. There's so many different ways this could change, though, for the Lakers. First of all, I mean, maybe a little the heat off of Frank Vogel this week. We'll see what next week brings. Who knows? But maybe a little the heat off of Frank Vogel, at least for now. The report was last week that he was coaching day-to-day for his job. But, you know, there's going to be a point, and I don't know when it's going to come, where they're going to have to try Russell Westbrook coming off the bench. And I don't know how you're going to sell that to him, and I don't know how. But first of all, the team is tied to him, and he's tied to them. Like, you can pout, you can be upset, you could say, I'm a superstar, I don't deserve this. Like, big whoop. I don't know what you're going to do, where you're going to go, because this is permanent right now. Ramona Shelburne had a good piece at ESPN. No plan B. You know, this is it. They're tied to each other. So if they want to experiment with Russell Westbrook coming off the bench, at some point I think that's going to happen this season.
Right, and they are kind of thin off the bench now.
Yeah.
I wonder if they can make some kind of trade package, too, with Taylor Horton Tucker, the number, whatever pick it is in 2027. It's going to be thin. But, you know, on the other side of the court, by the way, the Lakers, of course, look good in part because the Nets do not look good.
No, Nets do not look good right now. And to be fair, like, without Kyrie Irving and without Kevin Durant, it's just, like, not as watchable a product. Like, that's it. It's
well,
just
that's
not.
Obvious, yeah.
I mean, James Harden, I was a huge proponent of the trade last year. I thought that was a great trade. There were a lot of people in New York that didn't like it. I really liked that trade for them. And then Harden came to New York, and granted, I know people in Houston probably loathe this, but he came to New York and he was great. He was, you know, showed off his ability to be a passer, distributor, is bringing the ball up the court. You know, he was excellent. And last night he was still very good. He had a triple double. He's everything to them, but that's not the whole story when it comes to Harden. If it was just about basketball, this would be easy, but it's not just about basketball because before the game yesterday, there was a report, Jake Fisher had it, about how Harden's not happy.
Not happy in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Not happy in my home borough? How could anyone be not happy in Brooklyn?
How dare he? So he's not happy, and it got kind of personal, too. Like, it's the kind of thing that people say that it's like unassailable. Like, he's not happy because of, like, living in Brooklyn. Like, he doesn't like the fact that you pay more taxes in New York than you do in Texas. Like, hello, did you not know that before you got traded? Like, come on, man. Like, of course, New York, California, notorious for high taxes. Texas, Florida, notorious for low taxes. Like, this is a universe. These are just truths that we all knew. You're going to get upset about it now? You know, didn't like the fact that it's cold. I don't know. Like,
well,
these
I was
things
wondering,
are silly.
It is a pretty miserable place to be in New York right now.
Yeah, New York in January is not the best.
And we've been fighting about whether weather games affect football, but James Harden's an L.A. kid. I can understand if maybe he's like, I'm just not feeling that. Because the city is pretty ugly after Christmas. There's salt everywhere. Maybe he's just not feeling
okay.
Brooklyn.
Can I just bring this up, though? First of all, isn't that what the money's for, number one? Number two, the thing about that, you're playing in your season for, what, 6 months?
Right.
You're on the road constantly. How much time do you actually have to spend? Like, what do you, you know, you go to the local coffee shop, you have a coffee, like, you could be anywhere in the country. So, like, you're constantly traveling. All right, it's a little bit cold here, no kidding, but even when he was playing for Houston, you're playing for Oklahoma City, by the way, which also gets cold, like, you're still traveling to Detroit, you're traveling to Minnesota, you're traveling to Boston, you're traveling to Indianapolis, you're traveling to places that get super cold. Why complain now?
Well, first of all, we don't know that he is complaining about this.
That's true, it was
just a report. To be fair, but also about the on-court product. Is he mad at Kyrie Irving for not playing?
Well, that was part of the report, too.
Yeah,
that he's frustrated with Kyrie because he won't get vaccinated.
But obviously, he's got to talk to Kyrie about it. And the other thing, too, is can this team stay healthy? I mean, I think when the trade went down, yeah, of course, on the court, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant's awesome. But Harden didn't stay healthy last year. KD has not been staying healthy. And Kyrie, by the way, this might be the only thing that keeps Kyrie healthy is that he's only playing half the games. So this was a kind of a marriage where I was always worried. I wasn't pro this trade. Because it reminded me too much of when the Nets traded for Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Deron Williams. I know those guys were older.
Yeah.
But guess what? James Harden and Kevin Durant have a lot of miles on their legs. And I think they're wearing down. And even last night, he was awesome. You saw, like, peak Harden. He loves when he's the man on the team and he can run the whole show. They weren't even in the game.
Yeah,
so
but,
I don't know basketball-wise.
No, the rest of the team is not great.
I still am not convinced basketball-wise that that's a championship formula because I haven't seen it. Harden has had opportunities. He's been right there with the Rockets, always came up short in Game 7. So I'm not sure that this is ever going to go to a championship.
I'd like to at least see the full product.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to see the whole thing because there were times last year, even if it was just Harden and Kyrie or whether it was Harden and Durant, that it was actually super exciting. So last night after the game, of course, you got a report like the Bleacher Report thing comes out about Harden's really unhappy. And oh, by the way, also linking him to Daryl Morey and, you know, what's going on in Philadelphia. Because if you think that the steam that's getting picked up around will Ben Simmons get traded at the deadline, which, by the way, is February 10th, and this Harden is suddenly upset because the taxes are high in New York. If you don't think that those two things have are unrelated. Like, I got a beachfront property in Idaho for you.
So who's putting it out? Harden's side or the 76ers GM Daryl Morey's side?
Source guessing here, I have no idea, but I think this would be coming from the 76ers side.
Yeah.
Because why would the Nets want Ben Simmons right now? That makes no sense for them. You want a guy who you're not even sure that he wants to play basketball, who hasn't played basketball, who had trouble with the spotlight in Philadelphia, is now going to come to New York where the spotlight is going to be even greater, and we don't even know if he wants to play. We talk about mental health a lot. We've been talking about Sean Payton taking a step back and all that. Like, let this guy have his space. He doesn't want to play right now. He said he was fine not playing for the whole rest of the season, was the report last week.
He wants space to not play in Philadelphia. I'm not sure he wouldn't want to play elsewhere. And I think he wants it. By the way, you say that he doesn't want the big-time team like the Nets. He doesn't want to be in Sacramento. He wants to be with a Laker or a Knick or a Net.
See, I don't know about that.
He would quit the league if he went to Sacramento. Everyone knows Ben Simmons fashions himself not just as a star, as a superstar. There is no way he's going to Sacramento. He will not suit up for them.
Well, I would say, like, pick your poison then, because you can go to a franchise where you're going to be ignored and you basically be irrelevant except for the local fans who support you, and you never make any noise really on the national level, or you can go to a place where your every move and Instagram post is going to get dissected. Unfortunately, with the NBA, you kind of don't have, like, too much of an in-between.
See, I think Simmons, I know that he's taking a break from the game. I think he wants to be in the spotlight. I think he fashions himself as, like, a LeBron-type player.
Well, unfortunately, when the moment hit him in the Philadelphia playoff series against the Atlanta Hawks, he was nowhere to be found.
Oh, it's not even that. I watch a lot of Sixers game. Ben Simmons locally is not viewed anything like he is nationally. People knew how limited his game was offensively for a long time. He's a great defensive player. So that's why I think that when you look at a team like the Nets, if you had Kyrie Irving and KD, you could put a Ben Simmons there because he does something that those guys don't. James Harden, on the other hand, they're all ball-dominant players. Harden being the most ball-dominant player. Maybe that's what the Nets need, like a superstar defensive guy who doesn't ask for the ball ever.
Yeah, I don't see this happening. But anyway, James Harden was asked about this after the game last night, and specifically about the report that he was unhappy. Here's the question the reporter asked and his answer.
One of the complaints that the report claimed that you had was with rotations, you know, not having set crunch time rotations.
I don't know, listen, I don't know about any reports. Of course, I'm frustrated because, you know, we're not healthy. You know, it's a lot of inconsistency for whatever reason, injuries, COVID, whatever you want to call it. But it's frustrating. I think everybody in this organization is frustrated because we are better than what our record is and we should be, you know, on the way up. So that's all it is. I don't know about reports. If you didn't hear from me, I don't talk to nobody. I have an agent, like, you know, if you don't hear from me, then it's reports. So, you know, I'm frustrated because I want to win, and I'm a competitor. It's pretty simple.
If you're the Sixers, he could become a free agent at the end of the season. Why would you necessarily really push to trade for him now? Why not just try and sign him this offseason?
Well, I think the way that the contracts work is he can opt out, but I still think that the Nets can pay him the most.
Oh, so it'd be like a sign and trade?
It has to do with bird rights, and like, we're going to get into nerd territory here, but there could be a sign and trade that would probably be most likely to happen because, and again, like, this is abstract money, but it's like $270 million. You know, it's like this money that's monopoly money. With regards to that answer, though, that's a good answer. That's a very good answer that he gave to that question, but he didn't answer the question. He's frustrated for a lot of reasons, right? But inconsistencies. I mean, that's got to be like at least some kind of a half of a head nod to Kyrie. Inconsistent when, you know, the team's playing inconsistent when you only have one of your best players for road games. But that's a great answer, but it's also a non-answer.
Right.
Doesn't really address any of the specific things that came out in that article, maybe because they're not true, or maybe because he wants to keep the focus on the court while also floating some of these other things out. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
either way, there's like a narrative that's starting to build that James Harden's unhappy and it's basketball and other things.
That's what we do when there's a possible NBA trade. It becomes so much bigger. It becomes about personalities. And it becomes about he said, and so many things. Remember the old days when you could just have sort of a trade and there wasn't 500 like Instagram posts and all this stuff involved? The NBA is such a sport of personalities.
Are you doing the good old days on me?
The good old days. Well, now you can't just trade somebody. They have to be unhappy. Six reports have to come out. they have to say something about one of their teammates or their coaches. There's just so much to any NBA trade. It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm following mainly because I follow Ben Simmons so closely, but just do a darn trade. How often are we going to have to talk about this?
Well, this one would be big. It did actually start with basketball, though, for Simmons. You know, there's a lot of ancillary things that go on around him, whatever. Like, I remember, what was it? The Rookie of the Year thing was really big, about whether he would sit out the whole first year and he could actually win Rookie of the Year because he was going to get some big bonus from Nike. Like, there's all the reason why it's not just about that is because we know so much now.
Right.
I shouldn't know that about Ben Simmons getting an extra bonus from Nike if he becomes the Rookie of the Year. So that's why he didn't want to come back and play the first season after he was drafted, because he was afraid that he would blow his chance of being Rookie of the Year. Like, that's so insidery, yet I know this now. Yeah. So I start to think, well, what other outside factors are playing into this person's mind?
Right, and obviously, which one did he date? Kendall Jenner? He dated a Jenner for a long time.
Everyone just furrowed their brow.
Yeah, he definitely dated a Kardashian.
It's either between Kendall or Kylie.
Yeah.
It was Kendall.
But that's the point. Like, yeah, he's in that world. But remember when Harden left Houston, he couldn't just leave Houston. It had to be just
super dramatic.
Weeks of drama. And now we're getting that with Ben Simmons. And the media, we fuel it and we love it. I mean, it's kind of fun.
There's also, Harden is a game changer. You know, we can talk about whether or not he fits on the team or what have you. We can talk about his Game 7 records or whatever. But the bottom line is he's in these Game 7s. He's in the he's in the playoffs. He's taking teams to playoffs. He's played with so many different stars. There's been so many iterations of, James Harden and trying to make it work. I mean, same thing with your guy Joel Embiid. How many different kind of stars have the 76ers tried to put around him?
What?
Jimmy Butler. Was that going to work? You know, you had, obviously, Simmons. You thought Markelle Fultz was going to be something else, that he turned out to be a total bust. You got, I know Tobias Harris is, like, enemy number one in Philly right now. He's being paid like a star.
Oh, my God. Forget Joel for a second. Let's get back to James Harden. Does he have a little bit of Russell Westbrook, where that high usage rate, where a guy, if you're going to have the ball in your hands and you shoot 40% from three, I'd like to see you win an NBA championship. I'm sorry. I just think Harden's style is not for me.
I still think that with KD and with Kyrie, that thing could be very interesting. Could be beautiful.
If you have a healthy KD and Kyrie, you could win a title with Ben Simmons. You could win with a lot of people. I don't think you need all three. I think that's why it was designed that way.
I'll tell you what. Can't be waiting 15 minutes for a taco. That's the bottom line.
Oh,
cannot. Supply chains, I don't know if this has to do with whatever that boat that got stuck in the Suez Canal. Cannot wait 15 minutes for a taco. Does that sound, am I on a high horse right now?
You're right, but that was a darn good taco. By the way, we waited 15 minutes and ate them in about 3 seconds. Do you notice I inhaled tacos.
I didn't even taste it. I don't even think I chewed it.
Yeah, we were sitting there watching on one of these small monitor, black and white, LeBron just dominating the Nets. I'm like,
we're like adjusting rabbit ears. It was weird.
We could have walked away but we wanted those tacos so badly.
We did want the tacos really bad. Maybe it's on us. I don't know.
That could be a new show motto. They want the tacos really bad. I don't know.
and never even tasted them. Too busy inhaling them. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Oh, Machiavellian Maggie's back in the house. She's going to make an appearance.
Who's the victim this time?
You're going to have to wait and find out. Oh, she's back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM Channel 158.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Maggie and Perloff. Okay, two things that have us all very annoyed. One got rectified yesterday, so I want to put a bow on something that we no longer have to worry about. So if you're playing Wordle these days, number one, stop sharing your results with the rest of us.
Is that what got rectified? You're no longer allowed to share your results? What's Twitter?
I wish. If I was like somehow the czar of all things social media, I would have banned anyone putting their Wordle results on social media like weeks ago, whenever this became a thing. But thank you to Twitter. And it's not often we can say thank you to Twitter because it's usually, you know, a cesspool and a total sewer pit. But thank you to Twitter because they banned the bot that was ruining the Wordle for everyone like super early in the morning. They would tweet out the result, answer. So Twitter went ahead and banned that. And I just want to say for the people who are sharing the Wordle results, first of all, like Wordle's not proving that you're really that smart. So it's not like you're tweeting out your SAT scores.
Like I would.
like you have. It's in your bio, which I thought was weird. But it's also on par with other like terrible conversations. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about and if you might be an offender of one of those terrible conversation starters, here's just a small list. Your dreams, never start a conversation with. I dreamt last night. Nobody cares. Your fantasy team, nobody cares about that. Maybe the people in your fantasy league, that you can talk to. You can talk to those people about them. Any kind of pictures of your kid, really anything about your kid, nobody wants to hear. And this is somebody who has a child, and I realize this. And then commuting. No one cares about your commute.
Oh, boy.
Take you 15 minutes, take you an hour, take you 10 hours. Did you take a helicopter there? Did you have to fall off the parachute? Did you take, you know, like dog sled? Nobody cares. You take a jalopy to work, you drive a Mercedes, nobody cares about your commute.
Maggie, you should have brought this up before we started working together. Those are three of the top four topics in my entire life.
I mean, well, who do you think I'm talking to right now? I'm talking to America and I'm talking to you.
So, you know that commuting used to be the primary part of my life. I spent more time in my car driving to Connecticut for the Dan Patrick Show than I did anything else. So I had to talk about it. And if I found somebody at a party who also had a long commute, we went off in a corner and talked about the BQE, the Henry Hudson Parkway, I-95.
I know. And I'm just letting you know.
Kids.
Yikes.
I talk to you about my kids all the time. I send you like 7 texts a night. Why did you tell me this? Why are you sitting there judging me silently?
Well, I was being polite until now because I saw the Wordle thing and I was like, oh, this is my entry to tell Perloff to stop sending me pictures of his kids.
And I do want to hear about your fantasy team. Am I like
people? No, you don't.
Yeah, I want to hear fantasy football is interesting, although it's been sort of displaced by gambling. But all right, fine. And I also texted you about my fantasy team and how big that touchdown by Davante Adams in week 12 was. I thought you were excited. I thought you wanted to know.
The only thing, bad beats, you can text your friends about but, those. Those are always fun.
Those are the best. I totally agree with Wordle. Actually, I'd rather they just ban all Wordle results. But I didn't know there was a spoiler out there. That's pretty funny.
I know. So Twitter got rid of that. So the other thing that has us very furious, and now I've left us almost no time to do this, is another small topic of the Baseball Hall of Fame, which gets everybody just incensed year after year after year. And outside of Boston yesterday, with Big Poppy getting in as the only enshrinee for 2022, the rest of the baseball-loving world was just on fire, like in a bad way, not in the Dan Patrick and Fuego way, like in the terrible way, which is everyone points out the hypocrisies, points out how just flawed this process is, how it's basically a popularity contest, but it's actually not even a popularity contest because guys who were popular who aren't even getting in, who should be in. It's so just devolved into a place of just pure anger and outrage. Like, to me, the Hall of Fame is blowing it. Like, they just don't matter anymore because they've turned off an entire generation of fans.
But when you say that, does that mean you think people who were directly linked to PED should be in? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't even know if it matters which side of this you come down on. If I want to put in Bonds and Clemens and you don't or whatever, that's almost irrelevant to me. Like, yes, I do think those guys should be in, But my personal opinion about that's almost irrelevant. The Hall of Fame has made themselves not important anymore. Like, after the outrage comes the apathy. And the fact that they wouldn't realize that, I think, is where they're seriously falling short. Yes, you're going to have people who are upset now, and then they're going to tune you out. And I think that's what the end of this Bonds and Clemens 10 years has kind of brought a lot of closure. Like, I don't think anyone cares about A-Rod. I don't think anyone cares about whether he gets in or not, because we've been so let down by how the Hall of Fame voters have voted, quite frankly, that what we watched all those years for you and me, like as kids or young adults, what we watched all those years not being in the Hall of Fame, it just doesn't compute. And that way, I think the Hall of Fame itself has become devalued.
But that's because of steroids. Mm-hmm. That's steroids. And also, I don't think people care. That I don't think people like A-Rod. I think the average American baseball fan still doesn't like A-Rod.
Yeah, he's so easy to mock.
He was a Yankee. He got caught twice. He got caught the first time and it called his accuser a liar. Mm-hmm. And then he got caught again. Then he got suspended forever. So I think part of the reason they didn't, and I'm not sure people are amazed. People don't like Bonds either. I think people of our generation like Bonds. I think older people don't like Bonds.
No, reporters didn't like Bonds.
Yeah, yeah. But I think a lot of fans are like, this is ridiculous. The dude hit 73 home runs.
That's what I'm saying.
He went too far with the steroids. He got 100 on the test when you need to get a 95 when you're cheating.
Right. I think there's a lot of people, though, that say, what I watched with my eyes when I watched Barry Bonds, right, when I watched Roger Clemens, when I watched, say, if you want to put Sammy Sosa in there, whatever. Yeah. What I watched with my eyes was something amazing. And the fact, here's what it is. The fact that the Hall had this amount of time, and the baseball writers, frankly, but the Hall has had this amount of time to come up with a solution.
Right, they did.
We've had 10 years of the same conversation.
Right, they just didn't let him in. What the solution was, 40% did vote him in, and they're not in.
I know, but it's not a solution because you have other guys who have just similar amounts of whispers like that Big Poppy had.
But if they were, we were talking about this pre-show, they're not really similar amounts. Big Poppy is not A-Rod. And Big Poppy is not.
No, I'm talking about Mike Piazza, and I'm talking about Craig Biggio, and those guys who had the rumors. Like, Big Poppy was on this list in 2003 that he had failed a test before the steroid rules were ever even in place, but that he had failed a test.
But you have to admit,
we don't even know what. There was no follow-up. Like, we have nothing there. Same thing is, like, we really don't have a lot linking Mike Piazza. They both got in.
Right.
But, like, you know, it's still shades. Pudge Rodriguez, it's shades. It's accusations. Like, and he's in.
I just think there's a general consensus that McGuire, Sosa, Clemens, and Bonds are just like a different cut than those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't even know Craig Biggio was linked to this or whatever. I assume he was an Astro. But I just think those guys are so obvious, so that's why they're out. But also, too, people are now ripping other Hall of Fame, saying Hall of Fames are irrelevant. Like,
I mean, I don't put a lot of stock into them, quite frankly. Personally. And I'm not just talking about, like, devaluing institutions, like, which happens to be, like, going on across this country in kind of a dangerous way. In our sports way, I think that Hall of Fames, like, from one to the next, like, baseball just gives themselves another reason for people to rip them apart, whether it's pace of play, having issues with the game, and now having issues with the Hall of Fame. Look at the NBA. The NBA's Hall of Fame, first of all, we don't even know who the voters are.
Right.
We don't know what the criteria is, but it just seems like a celebration of the game.
And nobody talks about it. Nobody cares. Baseball, we talk about it all the time, and we're going to talk about it for 10 more years with A-Rod. So they figured it out. That's the only baseball thing we talk about.
See, I think that that's short-lived, though, in the moment. I think you get the outrage, and now I think there's a fatigue.
But nobody cares about who's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not even a topic. I don't even know who's in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Basically everyone. Everyone's in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and also the fact that college coaches are right there with Dominique Wilkins and yes, it makes no sense.
While they're still coaching and they're in.
Yeah. There's not even, like, we never said.
Wait, but do you care about the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Yeah, of course I care about the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, who was the guy we were debating the other day? Curt Schilling versus Mike Mussina. I know there's a lot more, but to me, like, yeah, I could get fired up about a statistical debate about the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I know, but the statistics now, they're all called into question. See, that's why baseball...
Okay, you're saying they all are because of the steroid era.
Well, though, that generation is called into question. So, like, the Baseball Hall of Fame, which at one point was one of the ones that was easiest to debate because it felt like it was a numbers-based thing.
Right, you had exactly.
You had certain numbers that meant you were in, and then the steroids came and turned that all upside down. And so now, I don't think anyone's exactly sure what the criteria is, and especially when you're talking about guys from the steroid era.
Right, but that's definitely not the Hall of Fame's fault. That's baseball's fault. That's the MLBPA and MLB for
sure.
All those years.
Pass around the blame if you want, but the Hall of Fame, I feel like, gets the brunt of it because I don't think people believe in the system.
I don't understand. What's the big deal? So Barry Bonds obviously cheated and he's not in the Hall of Fame. Why is there more to this? Like, why all of a sudden is everyone mad? I know it's the final year, so it's being amplified.
Yeah. I think people are mad because it doesn't match their memory.
Yeah.
You know, watching Barry Bonds, there was no doubt that he was the best player you were watching.
Yeah, but he was so inflated. I remember I was there
later
that whole year.
That
1 year where he hit all those home runs,
yeah.
I watched every night. I was so into it.
Everyone was.
But I look back and I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? How dumb was I?
Right, but does that discredit his whole career? Discredit everything that we watched?
Well, that's the last thing I remember. Here we are. We're doing it.
I know. I guess the Hall of Fame does matter. Jeez, I guess I was the one who was in the minority here. I thought it was like Wordle, you know, getting the Wordle bot getting banned. I was like, hallelujah. Then I was like, hey, Hall of Fame. Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter. All these things that annoy you are important to people. Wordle's important to people. My commute is important to people. My fantasy team and my darn kids are important to people. And wait, lastly, the Football Hall of Fame, you have a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with it. That criteria shifts all the time, too. And, like, I'm going to have to leave it to other people to say whether you are the best left guard to ever play of all time. You know?
You got Andre Reed in. You got Jim Kelly in. What else do you want? You got all your Buffalo
the Bills
ones
from are in. Marv Levy's in. Everyone's in who is important to me in my childhood, no doubt. But if I'm, like, you know, Tony Boselli and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and I'm not sure why, if there's, like, a
Tony
long
Boselli
jam at wide
7 years in the NFL.
Right. And you
That's nothing.
But what's the peak of Terrell Davis?
I know. Tony Boselli was in Jacksonville. Terrell Davis was running in the Super Bowl. There's just like, these guys are not like sure. I love Tony Boselli. Yeah. I think he should be in. But these are not, like, you can't say, it's not Barry Bonds.
Oh, how about this? How about keeping T.O. out?
For 1 year. That was
even
insane.
Though you know he's going to get in as some kind of like punishment. See, these are the kinds of things, these are the cracks that kind of get put into these halls where it feels like it becomes more about the voters than the people who are actually getting enshrined.
Do you want to see my Wordle result for the day?
No. No, I do it on the way home. I save my Wordle. We should do that. When do you do your Wordle? All right, we've hit the bottom of the hour. We're super late. Apologies. CBS Sports Update time with Rich Ackerman. All right, coming up at 5:05 Eastern, 2:05 Pacific, Odyssey NFL insider Michael Lombardi will join the show. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Some news from the NFL. Injury report for the San Francisco 49ers. Looking good, 49er fans. Seeing that Deebo Samuel, not on the injury report today. Obviously, he was limping a little bit. Man, that guy left like half his body in Lambeau. What a performance from Deebo Samuel. But he is good to go for the game this Sunday. Also, Trent Williams didn't practice today. This is according to Schefter. But Kyle Shanahan said, Trent believes he's playing, and so do I. Yeah. So good stuff there.
And
for
George Kittle not on the injury report. He was limping off the field in the last minute. I don't totally understand, by the way, how Deebo, he had an ankle injury. Is it hurt? Because I saw him clearly.
I don't know.
Can he keep this up? Like he's like the Derrick Henry of wide receivers. He just keeps on taking punishment.
The Derrick Henry of wide receivers.
He is. He's brutally tough for a while. Have you ever seen a wide receiver run like that?
No.
Hines Ward? I'm trying to think who's a tough wide receiver.
Well, I mean, there's been super tough guys before. But yeah, Deebo Samuel, it was just amazing that he was like the offense. I mean, Kittle had a couple nice catches in the second half, but he was the offense. I mean, when it came down to it, on that crucial 3rd and 7, it was Kyle Shanahan who audibled out of a throw to hand the ball off to Deebo Samuel.
I'm very curious. We're going to break down these games the rest of the week, but now it's going to be warm again for San Francisco. Are we going to see a completely different offense? Because Kittle had that drop early in the game. Yep. That felt like a cold football drop to me.
Well, you know, can you blame the guy? Although I said that we cannot let Aaron Rodgers off the hook because he didn't play great in a cold weather game. So I don't know if I can give Kittle a pass.
Kittle's from Iowa, too, yeah. So he should be used to it. But my point is, too, you don't judge. We're not going to judge what's going to happen this Sunday based on last Sunday. That's a mistake I think people make way too often.
Oh, you mean betting-wise or just...
Betting-wise, analysis-wise. Like, remember the Chiefs were coming off a blowout and the Bills were coming off a blowout, so it was really hard. Oh, they're just going to go out there and score 1,000 points. Actually, that turned out to be true. So maybe we don't. But I don't really want to judge the Niners based off last game. I think they're going to be a much different team. Because I think some people are looking at this Rams-Niners game. Oh, the Niners aren't going to get enough offense because they had no offense against the Packers. Jimmy G, for all we know, he could throw zero touchdowns 1 week and three the next. He's hard to predict.
I'm just looking up the Rams injury report as well, and it doesn't look like we have anything as of right now. 10 minutes ago, we got the injury report, though, from the Chiefs. The only notable there is that Tyrann Mathieu did not participate. Obviously, he's coming off that concussion. And welcome into CBS Sports Network. Good to have you guys. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Yeah, I hadn't fixed my hair until I found out we were coming back on TV. So now I'm back to normal. Andrew Whitworth, it looks like, will be playing for the Rams. Although our boy Joe Noteboom was pretty awesome filling in for him last week at left tackle for the Rams. So this feels like both teams are ready to go. I don't think like injuries is going to be a storyline. I don't know.
Thank goodness. I mean, we know that Jimmy Garoppolo is obviously dealing with like every kind of ailment. He's basically like scotch taped together. But
his biggest ailment is in the head. Do not throw that pick with 5 minutes left that he tends to do.
Yeah, that's not going to be good. Hey, speaking of which, can we audible for a second on the show to a little of the Kelly Stafford sound? Because I thought this was interesting as we're talking about quarterbacks in the NFC. I thought it was interesting because obviously Matthew Stafford, it got picked up on the microphone in the NFC divisional round when Ndamukong Suh of the Bucks and former teammate of Matthew Stafford, like, Sue was upset because he thought Stafford like kicked him and that got picked up where Sue's going, he kicked me. Meanwhile, it turns out there could be some bad blood between these two, and we found that out because of Matthew Stafford's wife.
I don't know why it's such a weird dynamic with him. I mean, I feel like he's the only player in this league that really dislikes Matthew, and we don't know why. We legit don't know why.
Well, he has one more reason to dislike Matthew now.
I love it. Now he can actually dislike him for a freaking reason. But Anyways, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And that's all I'm going to say. I wish Sue the best. I really do. I love his family is always so kind. But like, come on, dude. We were teammates at one point. It really really bothered me. So I just don't get it. And I don't know. It upset. It like disappoints me in a way with Sue. So I don't know. Whatever. Maybe we'll figure out. Maybe there's a reason. I don't know. And he'll let us know. But it doesn't seem to really. Matthew doesn't really seem to care. So just me.
Aren't defensive linemen supposed to dislike quarterback?
That was a long clip of Kelly Stafford.
Yeah, that was a lot of
I feel like we really got the gist of the podcast.
Yeah, aren't you supposed to dislike the opposing quarterback? I know they were teammates. By the way, I've heard similar stories about Ndamukong Suh from other people around him.
Well, he plays with an edge, obviously.
Yeah, I think he lives with an edge. I think he's one of these people who generates sort of, I don't know, resentment is the right word, but it feels like he's a player. You know, you see him angry. He stomped on a guy in his career. He plays angry. So I don't know why she's so shocked that an opposing, I know they play together, but what does he care?
Yeah, but see, that's what's interesting to me about Sue, though, is the dichotomy of, yes, he plays angry, he plays this edge, yet he's also the guy who's like friends with Warren Buffett, who's like giving the locker room investment tips and is like coming in with like the big diversified portfolio and like Mr. Stock Market. So I don't know. Like, I guess maybe those two things are the same. I don't know. I saw Wolf of Wall Street. I guess those guys can live with an edge too.
You ever had Sue on a show? Just out of curiosity.
No, never talked to
him. I don't know. This is terrible. I don't want a character assassinate, but people have said like, you know, he can be difficult to deal with. That's all I'll say. Not that he's getting in trouble or that he's obviously a great player, but like he's a great player, but he's not beloved. He's never been beloved. Like you never hear a teammate say, man, I love that Ndamukong Suh. Aaron Donald, who is the interior pass rusher, Suh could have been that. He could have been super popular on a million TV shows, but why isn't he?
I don't know, but if he's giving out good stock tips, I mean, that's going to make him pretty popular in the locker room. If you're hitting winners left and right, I think that will probably help. Hey, speaking of football players who may be going through some kind of makeover.
Okay.
Trying to sort of rebrand themselves a little bit.
What do you mean?
Well, I noticed that Breaker Mayfield posted on Instagram yesterday that he's going to be getting off all social media for the foreseeable future. Here's Baker. Got to do what's best to focus on me, my family, and loved ones. Appreciate all the support. Time to get right. P.S. Wow. If it's a business inquiry or marketing, marketing inquiry, contact this guy.
Yeah, that sounds really nice.
Yeah, and it was funny because when you saw this, you were like, man, good for Baker.
Yeah, but way to focus on your personal priorities. Get your act together. I like it.
And obviously, we could all use to probably go off social media now and then. It's good for the mental health. But when I saw this, it triggered something. And that's Machiavelli and Maggie. Come on, guys. Wake up here and smell the marketing opportunity. Smell the branding. And smell the strategy. If you think that Baker Mayfield is simply taking a break from social media because it's probably good for your mental health and the right thing to do, I got to tell you, this is just step one in the Baker Mayfield rebranding tour. Yes, Baker Mayfield saying that he's going to take a break from social media to focus on himself and his family. It's admirable, but this is one step in a much larger puzzle.
What do you mean?
Much larger strategy.
I don't get it. What's the strategy? To get off social media is a strategy?
No, I'm not going to say this is the oldest trick in the book, but the reinvention. As he's heading into a contract year, Perloff, the timing is perfect. You got Baker coming off of a down season. He played hurt. The team underachieved. Oh, by the way, he gets blasted by Odell Beckham Jr.'s father about how he's not getting his son the ball. Now Odell is one win away from the Super Bowl, and the jury's out on Baker Mayfield on whether or not he's a bust. This is the time for the Baker makeover, and that's what you're watching and witnessing right now. It starts with the social media break.
Wait, well, I understand. Won't you want to get off of social media if everyone's ripping you for all these things? I feel like that's a logical move.
Okay, but mark my words.
What comes next?
This is what's going to happen in the next couple weeks to months. So he's going to take the social media break. He's going to go away for a while, conveniently go underground, maybe around the Super Bowl, okay? Let people start to miss you a little bit. Maybe, hey, what's up? Have you heard anything about Baker Mayfield? No, I haven't. Anyway, people are distracted with the big game. Then, mark it down. You're going to hear about Baker changed his diet. Maybe goes vegan. Found something else. You know, maybe he was allergic to gluten.
Cuts out dairy.
Something like that, right? You know where I'm going with this.
Some sort of variation of the TB12 method. I totally understand what you're saying.
Then you're going to hear maybe working with a new quarterback coach. Ah, unlocking something. Now the shoulder's starting to feel a little healthier, even though it's the non-showing throwing shoulder. But you get what I'm talking about. Everything's starting to come back into place for Baker. Maybe he goes and does this in LA. Maybe he does this in Texas. Not exactly sure. Then what comes? The spread in GQ. I can guarantee his people are discussing it now, whether he's going to get the cover story for the September issue. Mark my words, it comes out. The full reinvention of Baker Mayfield is complete, and he has now completed the rebrand.
You are so cynical.
And it all started with a social media break.
You're just saying, just because a guy is getting rough treatment on social media and wants to walk away for his own personal private health, you're saying it's all a plan, it's all a ploy to increase his personal value. Is it possible that people don't think like you, Maggie, and everyone's not trying to get an angle or an edge, and maybe he just really is tired of getting ripped by everybody and wants some time to himself and his family?
We'll see. We'll see. We're all going to find out together whether or not this is part of a bigger strategy. And the reason why, if you're not thinking like this, you're just going to be left in the dust. This is all part of the rebrand, y'all.
Has he been on the cover of GQ?
Another cover. Men's health this time. Perloff and I are going to welcome in Mike Lombardi next. The latest with all the head coaching GM and coaching rumors. Quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, we're going to hit it all. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. the MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.